fresh into the new year here and all. But before we do that, I just want to mention one particular thing. We have the privilege of supporting a number of ministries here, missionaries and all, that are out, go out from here, or that we're involved in, or that we know of. And if you ever want to know some of the ministries we do support, we do have some of them. At least chapter 4 now, as we come to this time to study God's Word together, let's go to the book of Galatians, chapter 4. Galatians 4. I wasn't sure how many people would be here this morning with the Charger game going on. Or at least it's going to be, I think it's going on somewhere during the, but I realize there are DVRs, so all the guys, yeah, all the guys are going, thank God for DVRs. But but anyway, glad to see you here. Glad to see everybody here. As we think about a new year, as we think about turning a calendar page, as we think about the whole idea of time moving on, this morning we're going to consider how all of that, namely time, is in God's hands. There's no doubt that the future can be uncertain, and it can raise a certain amount of fear sometimes and concerns, and we wonder what will the future hold and all. But I want to encourage you, and I hope this time be part of encouraging you, no matter that sometimes the time may seem uncertain to us, the future uncertain to us, we can have a peace as we face the future. We can even have a sense of expectancy as we face the future. Why do I say that? Because God is in control. And no matter how you react to that right now, I trust by the end of our time, we'll all be recognizing and rejoicing and thanking Him for that truth. God is in control. Galatians 4, we're just going to look at two verses for this morning. Verses 4 and 5. Galatians 4, verses 4 and 5. But when the fullness of the time had come, God sent forth His Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. In the fullness of time, it declares. Time. God made time. He created by setting up things He did, His whole creation process, sun and moon and stars and everything else, the rotation of the earth and all. By doing that, He created time. God controls time, as we'll see this morning. And God gives time to us. Clocks and calendars. I almost called our time together by that name, clocks and calendars. Because the reality is, we can be sometimes so tempted to be ruled over by those and worried about clocks and calendars. And that becomes the question, do they rule our lives? What's our relationship to time? How much do we try to pack in and all, this whole thing of clocks and calendars? And I guess the bottom line question is, what are we to do with the time that God gave us? Verse 4, when the fullness of time had come. That's our title for the morning, the fullness of the time. Let's pray. Father, thank You for this time together right now, that You designed and purposed it, and knowing that, Lord, there's things You want to show us, things You want to speak to us about. Thank You that You declared that Your Word doesn't return void. It always accomplishes the purpose You've sent it out. Lord, we're the weak link in this thing. Help us now. Lord, we give You our distractions. Lift them off of us. We give You our concerns and all. We cast up upon You. And we ask that in this time and in this place, indeed, You'd find a people hungry, eager to hear, receptive. So, Lord, minister now. Again, You know the fears and concerns and uncertainties of our days and things that may be weighing some people down right now. I pray it'll be a healing, encouraging time for all of us. We cast it all on You, and we do it in Jesus' name. Amen. It's a really awesome text we have before us this morning. It occurs in the big picture here of Paul, of course, writing to the Galatians, and he's challenging them. They had come to know the Lord by faith, but they had gotten back into somehow getting back under the law. And he was showing them the futility of that, to press on in that fact that the justified will live by faith and all. So it's a letter reinforcing God's grace and all. But in the midst of it, he makes this declaration in verse 4, when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth His Son. So first of all, it's awesome because of that point, in that it points out what we just celebrated, Christmas, the coming of our Savior. But it's awesome not just because of what it points to. It's also awesome because it helps us remember, it points to the fact that all that did happen, that which we just celebrated, Christmas and all that did happen, what? According to God's timing. It declares here in our text, and I want to make sure that we understand something here. I am not here to convince you that God is in control. I'm here to declare that God is in control. Again, how you react to that will determine how much peace you gain from this truth we're about to look at. But remember that. And I do pray this truth will comfort and encourage every child of God here this morning. But look at our text, verse 4. But when the fullness of the time had come. So look at that declaration. When the fullness of the time had come. One way to put this, another way to translate it might be this. At the time determined by God. Fullness meaning God had prophesied when this would happen. And when that time had run its course and come to that point, God indeed did do what he said he was going to do. So another way to say this would be, at the time determined by God. Well, what happened? He sent forth his son. God sent forth his son. So notice the clear declaration that God is in control of it all. In this case, all the events of what we call Christmas, God is in control of it all. First of all, God was in control of where? It was some 700 years earlier where God had moved upon the prophet Micah to predict where the Savior would come. That he would come out of Bethlehem. It's in Micah 5:2, but you, Bethlehem, Ephrathah, though you are little among the thousands of Judah, you're just a little town, yet out of you shall come forth to me, the one to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth are from of old, from everlasting. And that was from early on, of course, understood to be a prophecy of where the Messiah would be born. So what am I saying? God is in control, and what evidence is he chose where Jesus would be born, namely Bethlehem. But not just in control of where the Messiah would be born, he also was in control of how the Messiah would come. Again, some 700 years or so earlier, God had used Isaiah to declare in Isaiah 7:14, therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. And so here we see not just where it would happen, but how. It would be through a virgin conceiving. Again, only God can do that. It's a miraculous birth and all. And that's what it's declaring, to show us that God was doing the whole thing. He had designed the whole thing. He was orchestrating the whole thing. He determined where. He determined how. Why? Why was he doing all that? That is in verse 5. To redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. That's why he did all this. That's why there's what we call a Christmas. That's why he sent his son, is declaring. Because there were some people in slavery. There were some people in bondage. You see, what the word redeem means, to set free by paying a price. To redeem means to go into the slave marketplace in their day, and you buy a slave, in their case, to either use that slave or you can set the slave free. But that was the idea, to redeem something. God sent his son to redeem us, to purchase us, to deliver us from the slavery and bondage of sin and all. And that's why he did it, to set us free from sin's penalty. The where and the how and the why, all controlled by God. And the time. God determined the time when the fullness of time had come. The point I'm emphasizing this morning is that it's all under God's control. And what I'm zeroing in on is this issue of time. With the starting of a new year, with the issue of time kind of more on our radar a little bit right now, I want us to remember that and really rest in the foundation of that truth. Timing is everything, the saying goes sometimes. Well, in God's case, timing is perfect. God is never late. He's never too early. He's always on time. God is the God of every situation. He's working out everything to accomplish His purposes. There's a book called Science Speaks. And the guy who wrote it, his name is Dr. Peter Stoner. I Googled it. You can Google it too and see that, yes, this guy exists. His books exist. And the point is, he's a mathematician and he studies probabilities. And you may have heard this before. If you have, let it encourage you. If not, let it encourage you. He studies probabilities. So he sat down and he wanted to figure out the odds of just one person accidentally fulfilling 8 of the prophecies regarding Jesus, in particular those of His coming, His birth, where, when, all those things that God had told, the record is clearly recorded before it happened, that God said it. Well, what the chances of someone just accidentally fulfilling just 8 of those? There's many, many more than 8, but just 8 of those. So he sat down and he figured it out, and he said the odds of one person accidentally fulfilling 8 of the detailed prophecies of the Messiah is 1 in 10 to the 17th power. That's a lot of zeros after that. But how do we make that more relevant? How do we understand how big that is, that the odds against someone just doing that randomly or by accident? What is 10 to the 17th power? Well, he actually has a blurb in which I'm just going to repeat to you the basics of. And he explains it this way. 1 to the 17th power is would be equal to the amount of silver dollars that it would take to cover the entire state of Texas 2 feet deep in silver dollars. Anybody ever been to Texas? You're from Texas. It's a big state. There's a lot out there, a lot of nothing out there. But it's a big state. I mean, you think of Dallas and Houston and San Antonio and out to El Paso. And I mean, it's a big state. Well, picture the entire state covered in silver dollars 2 feet deep. That's 10 to the 17th power. Now, the chances someone could fulfill just 8 of the prophecies about Jesus accidentally are equal to this. Let's say you take one of those silver dollars, you put a red dot on it. Put a red dot on it. And I send you out in an airplane, and we fly all over the state, and we're going around hours all over the state. Finally, you check the silver dollar out. Then somehow you get a big mixer and you mix them all up. The whole state. All mixed up. Now, we take somebody, put a blindfold on him or her, and tell them, go anywhere in the state of Texas you want. You can wander north, south, east, west, all over the place, up to Dallas, Houston, where you want to go. Go wherever you want. And when you're ready, you stop, reach down, and pull out a coin. The odds of that coin being the one we put the red dot on are the same as the odds of someone fulfilling just 8 of the prophecies about Jesus by accident. And that's just 8 of those. Why does God set things up like that? So we would know beyond a doubt that only God could do this. When people say, oh, you believe the Bible? I don't believe the Bible. And in love, we want to say, well, you ever really studied it? I know you've been told what professors say, but you ever studied it? The more I've studied it, the more I see God's fingerprints all over it. Only God could do the things He's done and the way He's done it. And He has done just that. See, if you ever doubt that God is in control, just study biblical prophecy. It's amazing. It's what it supports that it is God's Word. If you ever wonder if God will keep His Word, just study biblical prophecy. Just look at what He's done in the past. If you ever question whether God is in control of your circumstances, ponder what He's done already. See, based on this awesome truth, that indeed God is the author of and oversees and is working and everything else, that God basically is in control, having said that, and hopefully it's helped us see that we have many proofs that we can establish that upon, that being the case, that God is in control, it's wise for us to do a couple of things. First of all, it's wise to do this. Trust God's work in our circumstances. Trust the where and the when and the how. Trust His timing in our circumstances. Just as God worked out His plan perfectly at Christmas, He's wonderfully working out His purposes for and in our lives. Now, no, we don't see it all the time. We don't understand what He's doing all the time. We question what He's doing. Lord, why? I don't understand. If I were you, I'd do it this way. Hey, Lord, I got a good plan for you here. But we need to learn to trust His methods, His means, His timing. He truly knows what's best, and He is in control. And since He is in control of everything, when He's in control of our Lord's birth and all, the Savior's arrival and all, can we not also trust Him in our particulars, the things of our lives? And the answer, of course, is yes. He's more than faithful, more than trustworthy. Yeah, and maybe our circumstances don't look very good right now. But will we trust His timing anyway? I didn't know what this year would hold. We didn't know starting last year that we'd wind up where we are this year and things have gone on. But I've learned to draw closer and I've seen Him work. And He's just so faithful through it all. And I just thank God for that. His timing and all of His means are perfect. Today we're focusing on that timing issue. Did you notice in verse 4 here, when the fullness of the time had come, what? God sent forth His Son, born of a woman, born under the law. They were Jews. They lived under the law. But Jesus came born under the law to fulfill the law, to set us free from the law. So that's what that's referring to there. And it says He's born of a woman. Again, that whole idea. It didn't say born of a man and woman, of a woman. That's the virgin birth. But in particular, Jesus sent forth His Son there. And so we understand once again that the baby laying in the manger is indeed Emmanuel, which means God with us. God the Father sent God the Son, the second person of the Trinity, into this world as a little baby. Now, I want to marvel at that for a moment and think about it. God lives outside of what we call time. Our lives are so governed by times and minutes and days and hours and plans and months. We look at the calendar and everything else. But God lives outside of time. God is eternal. He has no beginning. He'll have no end. And again, we take these things kind of in intellectually, but we really don't understand the vastness of that. But God lives outside of... God doesn't... I don't think He does. God doesn't have to wear one of these. What time is it? What time am I supposed to be there? God doesn't need that's right, it's 2:00. Let's see. God doesn't have to wear a watch. God doesn't have a calendar hanging on the throne room of heaven. Let's see. Next Tuesday. Oh, that's Joe's birthday. I better not forget Joe's birthday. He doesn't have to do any of that. For God knows everything. He lives outside of time. And because of that, He sees all of time right now. God sees tomorrow right now. Now we kind of go, okay, but we don't really see what that's like. We don't even know what the next minute holds. But He does. He sees it all. He lives outside of time. Now think what it means that the God who lives outside of time entered time. Think of what change that would have been for Him. God the Son, second person of the Trinity, He now comes as a little baby. He enters into a world, into a people who very much are in time. They live in the time continuum, if you will. Think what that would have been like for God to all of a sudden come into and be subject to and all the days and the nights and sleep and fatigue and everything that Jesus did. But think of the change and all of that. Christ was born at a particular place. He was a particular person, born at a particular place, at a particular time, in a particular way, the incarnation, under a particular system, it declares, the law. And yet, he's in control of it all. He picked the time and the place and the where and the how and everything else. But He lets us know about how ahead of time so we can know it's Him doing it. What am I saying? Jesus' birth at Bethlehem, in the way it was, the timing it was, and everything else, was not an accident. It was an appointment. God keeps his appointments. And that's why we celebrate at Christmas. Jesus came in the fullness of time, meaning he came exactly at the point of time that God determined. Because God is in charge of time. By the way, it's worth noting, prophecies are not all fulfilled yet, are they? Everything due to be fulfilled to this point has been. But he's also made some prophecies that are yet to be fulfilled. There are other things going to be happening. The next thing on the calendar is the catching up of the church, the rapture. We're out of here. But what I'm saying is this, if everything that's been scheduled to happen has happened, prophesied, it was fulfilled, they happened, in light of that, and in light of the fact that God is in control of all circumstances, including time, how sure are we that what is yet to happen will happen? Well, it might. I think it could. No, 100% sure. It will happen. That's the assurance of it. We can bet on it. Take it to the bank. What is going to happen has happened. What's going to happen will happen. Because God is in control. He's in control of time. Time is in God's hands. Are you? Are you in his hands? None of this means anything. Indeed, hopefully it'll be one of those factors to make you shudder if you have not received Christ as Savior. If you have not received that work. So we can say time is in his hands, but the first thing first, are we in his hands? But if you have received that work, you have received the work of the cross and all, then rejoice in this fact that God is sovereign over all things, including time, including our time, our circumstances. I'm not going to do a whole message on God's sovereignty right now. There are entire books written on that. But let me just say this. God's sovereignty, well, if all we had were God's sovereignty, the idea that he is sovereign, meaning ruling over and control of everything, including time, but if all we had was that, I could understand that would kind of be scary. Oh, man, you know, God is sovereign. He's ruled over everything. He knows everything, sees everything. Nothing takes him by surprise. Oh, man, what's he like? Am I going to get fried? Am I in trouble? What's going to happen here? Well, we have to temper, if you will, God's sovereignty with the rest of his nature. And in particular, his sovereignty must be tempered by his love. Because now, when you take this truth, that we have a God who's in control of everything, and that he loves us, all of a sudden his sovereignty becomes such a blessing, such a refuge, such an encouragement, that even I don't understand where he's going, what he's doing, how he's doing it, I can understand this much. He loves me and he's in control. There you go. It's worth praising God for. It's worth resting in because of its truth, because of what it's pointing to. To know the one who controls time loves us, hopefully will be a very encouraging thought to all of us. How come things happen if he's in charge and control? We'll also remember this. Though God is sovereign, he will never violate man's free will. And so we do see people making choices contrary to his will. But he overrides the whole thing. His plan is unfolding, and for his children, his plan is at work, and his plan will be fulfilled. The future is unknown to us. And anything that can be unknown can be uncertain and cause a certain amount of anxiety or fear. Yes, the future is unknown to us, but again, it's not unknown to God. And so when he makes the promises he makes, when he makes the declarations he makes, that he's going to present you before his throne faultless one day, that he's working a work in us, that he's begun and going to complete, when you consider all those things, then we can have that place of strength and encouragement as we face new years and new days and new circumstances. And then remember, we can kind of get to thinking of God so big like that God is in all of time, that you can almost start saying, yeah, and he's so distant. No, that's the cool thing. God is in all of time, and yet now, as believers, He's not only near, but He's in us. So now you have the God who's sovereign and control of all and control of time and all, and now He's inside of us. He's right there with us in every circumstance. Again, that gives us such a peace, such an encouragement, that the one who dwells in me will never be taken by surprise. That He's unfolding all these things according to His plan. We don't have to face the future in fear. We don't have to give in to those anxieties and all. Because while we don't know what the future holds, we do know who holds the future. And He holds us in all we go through. And that's more than enough. Pastor Dale, I hear you saying God's in control and that He's working His plans and all, and He's in control of time and all. But Pastor Dale, look at the world we live in. Can God really be in charge of time and all when you consider this, these times that we live in today? I mean, look at just people rejecting God more and more. We live in a country turning from its biblical roots and all, just rejecting God. Can God really work? Can God's timing be perfect in times like this where there's rulers who do what they do and who are who they are? Times being what they are and all? Can God really work? Is His timing really perfect? Can God be in charge during even times like this? Ask Daniel. God totally used Daniel and did awesome things while Nebuchadnezzar was on the throne. Can God really work in times such as this with the people ruling as they are at all? Ask Joseph. Though he lived under Pharaoh, his brothers totally threw him under the bus. But as he looked back, he's able to say what? You meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. And Joseph could see, you know what? All the stuff that happened, God was in control. God's timing is perfect. Can God work in the situations when we see a country going south and everything else going on? It's just, we see people doing all the things they do and we get so upset about the political decisions made and judicial decisions made. No. Think of the events of Christmas and Easter and all that Jesus did and all that He went through. He did that while Caesar ruled in Rome. While the boot of the Roman legions were on the necks of the people. But it didn't change God's plan. They couldn't stop Christmas. They couldn't stop the resurrection. You can't stop God. No matter who's on the throne, no matter who's in charge, no matter what we see going on, yes, stand for righteousness, be a light in this dark world, but don't fret, oh, what's going to happen? God didn't abdicate the throne, and He's not about to. There are no times or leaders that can hinder God, for He rules in heaven. And He oversees time. Well, lastly, let me share this. All these things being so, since God is in control, since God is in charge of time, let's think about a few things. God is a God who lives outside of time, but then He makes creation. And by making creation, He made it in such a way with the sun and planets going around the sun and stars and everything else and the solar systems and everything else. By doing it that way, He's a God who lives outside of time, but He makes time. He makes it so there are seasons and days and nights and all. And then He makes man and puts man into time. Why? What's that about? It comes down to this. He puts us in time, and then what's He tell us to do with it? He said, I put you in time. And then what's He say? Now here's how I want you to relate to time. I'm going to put it up here. Ephesians 5. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. I now put you in time, He says. Now, how are you going to use it? How are you using your time? How will you be using these coming days weeks, months, this coming year, what will time find us doing? We only have so much of that time that all of us are here. And then we're one by one taken home, if you're a believer, or we're raptured out of here at some point where it's all called to a halt. But meanwhile, time is ticking off. What's the Lord say to do with it? Redeem the time. He redeemed us. He purchased us back. Now, we're to turn around and redeem the time. Use it for Him as idea. Because how do you redeem time? What's the idea in that? To redeem time is to really is to give it back to the one who gave it to you. It's to take every breath and every day and every time, every minute, every moment, and just say, God, what is your will for this time? What would you have me be about? Because this time will end. And it's not an issue of salvation, but we will be held accountable for how we use this time, what we did with it. And so He says to us that. He says, take that time now and give it right back to Him and say, Lord, your will be done. I offer it to you. Have your way with my days. Let Him redeem our days. That's wisdom. Don't be about ourselves, because that's foolishness. Wisdom is to give Him our time. Interesting. He gives us time. He says, now use it, like I tell you. I gave it to you. Now use it for me, is the calling and the privilege. The saying has been around a while, but it's so important to remember. And it is this. One life to live will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. That's how we redeem our time. That He be our motivation, our thought, our focus, at the core of what we do, our decision, that we seek Him in it all. He gives us time and basically says, now, trust me as you travel through time. Offer your time back to me and trust me in it. I pray the new year will find all of us trusting the God who is in control of time and circumstances. May the new year find us redeeming the time He's given us. May the new year find us redeeming the time by doing things His way. I wonder if you need to make some commitments towards that today. Not about salvation, but redeeming the time. Having a day we look back on and hear the Lord say, well done. Having lives well lived, because they were lived for the right purpose, which we discover by giving Him that time. Seeking Him in that time. Letting Him guide us in that time. May the new year find us trusting God in our times. Obeying Him in our times. Redeeming our time. I'm going to invite the worship team up. As they come up, I just want to say a few concluding comments here. Galatians 4:5, but when the fullness of the time had come, God sent forth His Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. Have you received the adoption? You must receive Christ as Savior, or none of this applies. But He wants us to. That's why He sent forth His Son, to redeem us. There'll be prayer partners in the corner. Go get it settled. But are you His? Notice this. He says that we might be what? Adopted. Brought in. Now members of the family of God. Sons and daughters of God. So He's speaking about us. That's us believers He's talking about there. Right now, let's respond. Let's worship and praise Him as sons and daughters. Redeemed, purchased, brought into the family. Let's worship Him. Toward that end, we're going to take some time and respond. And if it's meaningful to you during this worship time, I offer you, I encourage you to take advantage of some altar time. Some altar time that maybe be time for some of us to come over and say, Lord, I want to commit the new year to you. Lord, would you work that work in me that I would redeem the time as you'd have me to? Lord, I haven't used the time like you'd have me to, but I want to commit to it. The altar's here for any reason. Come up and just want to say some prayer. No one knows. No one's going to ask what you're up here for. But in particular, if you'd like to commit your time afresh and anew as we approach the new year, good offer to do that. Commit this year to Him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, how I pray that in this truth that you're in control and you oversee time, I pray you'll minister to hearts that might be concerned right now. Lord, These times can be of a time that maybe someone right now is concerned of financial pressures or health issues, just not sure what the future is going to hold. Lord, would you minister that you hold them and you hold the future and just hold each one close. I pray you'll minister in that way, Lord, that there'll be a peace where maybe there was a concern before. But for all of us, Lord, search our hearts and help us be a people who just offer right back the time you've given us, Lord. Let us individually and as a fellowship here be a people who redeem the time unto you. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. It is my training and teaching and understanding, and you know this is evidenced by the fact that typically when we get to this part of the service, I come up and say a word of prayer and a benediction, and we wrap up our time in praise. And you're very gracious with your time, and I respect your timing and all. But please know it's not just about putting some notes together and talking, but I'm very conscious always that there are spiritual battles always going on because we live in a battleground. And I'm conscious right now, I'm just very conscious of there's some kind of spiritual battle for some people going on. If it's not you, so be it, but don't pass the buck too quickly. Because I sense there's a real strong spiritual battle that God wants to. This isn't just for our intellectual consideration, it's for our spiritual growth, understanding, and conviction. How are you using your time? With the new year, I just feel like God's speaking to us about this issue of how are you going to be, are you going to redeem the time for Him? Now let me be quick to explain. I'm not saying, of course we use time in various ways. We go to work. That's good and right that we do that. And we have family time. And yes, you can watch a football game. Doesn't mean you're in sin. I guess it depends on what priority it has in your life, what you're living for. Because the main issue here is, but what are we about in our time? What are we doing with our time really? I just sense God speaking to us about how we're using our time. Again, it's time for family and all. I'm not saying you have to become a monk or something, but for some people, I feel like there's a battle. He's challenging. He's speaking right now about how you've been using your time and what we're really about at the core and what our priorities are. This whole idea of redeeming the time, giving it back to Him, saying, Lord, what would you have me doing? What's at the core, what am I to be about? That he doesn't want to get the periphery anymore. He doesn't want to just be on Sundays anymore. I just sense there's a strong battle. Allow me to pray towards that end. Heavenly Father, you say all you do because you love us. And this morning you've set before us that truth that you're in control. Time is in your hands. And whatever we might be facing in terms of the future, though we don't know it, we know who holds it. We know that you love us and you have a perfect plan in mind. And so we can go forward not being in fear. Thank you for that. And I pray just in that you'll minister to hearts this morning. But Lord, in particular, for the person or persons that I really sense there's an issue here of redeeming the days, how are we using our time in general, Lord? And what are we really about? And what really governs those decisions and all? Lord, whatever is going on in that realm, you're an awesome and mighty God, and you're speaking because you love. I pray right now, Lord, by your Holy Spirit, help that person or persons just surrender it. Just to give you the time, to make you the top priority now. And for all of us, Lord, may you find us all just letting each moment, every day, just be given back to you. We thank you that there's no bondage here. It's not legalism, but it is about redeeming this time you give us. So Lord, all of us, help us to find all of us just trusting and having faith and traveling in you, looking to you, Lord. How would you have us redeem the time? We look to you now. We thank you. We head out in you. We rest in you. In Jesus' precious name. Amen. Paul ended this letter to the Galatians with this benediction, which I now pass on to you, where he declares, "Brethren, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit." Amen. Let's close in song together. Amen.